June 1st, 2014, Sunday morning service. Today we are going to study from Hebrews chapter 5. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. As you know from the Old Testament, there are many types of works pertaining to God. David served God as a king of a nation, and Ezekiel and Jeremiah were prophets. Moses brought the law to his people, but there is a work as a high priest like Aaron, who stands between God and man and offers sacrifice for sins. And that's what Jesus did. About the work of high priest, I want to look at Leviticus 9:7. And Moses said to Aaron, "Go to the altar, offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, and make atonement for yourself and for the people. Offer the offering of the people and make atonement for them, as the Lord commanded." Aaron therefore went to the altar and killed a calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. So that was Aaron's work, and he had to make atonement for his people. If you don't know the meaning of atonement, you need to look up, since this is an important concept in Christianity. Atonement means reparation for sin, to make a payment for our sin. Do you think killing sheep and ox could set you free from our sins? For a long time, I didn't understand the concept, but I came to a conclusion that if God says it is okay, we have to be fine with it, and that's what the Old Testament people did. And with that, Aaron, Moses, Joshua, and all other people were saved. Aaron was setting a model for Jesus in the New Testament. And many people in the Old Testament are a foreshadow of Jesus himself, and that's why Jesus said the scripture testifies of him. David was a model as a king, and Moses was the law, and Aaron was the high priest. And Jesus was all of them. And Jesus, as a high priest, gave his own life, since he was a spotless lamb himself. It was not like he brought the blood sacrifice from somewhere else. He himself gave up his own blood and his own flesh to cleanse us from our sins. So his atonement is real, and the price Jesus paid with his life was very high. So if you remain grateful to what he did, I believe we can enter into his blessings. But unfortunately, there are people who return this gift with a curse by spreading a message saying Jesus never resurrected. So remain grateful and pursue God's work worthy of Jesus' sacrifice. When I was called to do what I do, many people told me that I would never become a successful pastor. But since this was what God told me to do, I was able to handle criticism, and I still continue to do what God put it into my heart. So please do not be afraid of people's criticism, and it should not bother you so much if you consider what Jesus has done for us. Verse 2, he can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And as the verse says, God is compassionate toward ignorant people. And I personally think that most of the teachings that are widely spoken in modern Christianity all comes from ignorance. But the passage says that God is compassionate towards those who are ignorant, so we should also be like him and not get arrogant nor frustrated, but continue to do what we do by teaching the truth about the end time. God is also compassionate toward those who are going astray. Well, we all used to go astray, but God patiently led us to be where we are now. I was also one of them, and I was going astray. I was going to a church which was affiliated with the Brethren group, and they had a teaching that denied all other denominations, and I felt uneasy when I was there. And that proved to be right. And after many trials, I finally found my calling in my 40s. So I don't want you to go astray, nor I want you to worry if you don't know your calling yet. Verse 4 and 5. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, You are my son, today I have begotten you. High priest is not something you choose to become. You have to be appointed by God. You have to be called by God, and any God's work, whether being a prophet or others, you have to be called to do it. This has not changed even in the New Testament era, like Jesus told Peter that he would make Peter a fisher of men. God's appointment has to be there. And now I use this Bible name Jeremiah, but before, of course, I used to use my given name. And at the church I used to go, people used to pick a Bible name for themselves, and there were some popular names like Paul and Esther. We had like three Pauls and three Esthers, and people used to ask me what Bible name I was given by God. But I never felt like God told me to use any of the Bible names. He wasn't calling me then. I knew that Bible name Jeremiah existed, but the scripture never really spoke to me, nor the name meant anything personal to me. But later on, when I started doing what I do now, suddenly this name Jeremiah was revealed to me. I also learned that in English, Jeremiah could also mean something who complains a lot, which is so me. But anyway, when you do a volunteer for church, please try to do your best, since the work you do for your church is like a trial period you have at a new job. When you are well discipled, and God will then reveal your calling for you. And it was like, I was like that. I did not know what my calling was, but for many years I volunteered at a church, and since they didn't have any man, or they didn't have many young men, I carried things around and I cleaned up the places and I did a lot of work for the church. And as I was being faithful, God was also faithful, and he eventually showed me what my calling was. Verse 6 to 7. As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him, who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. This shows that Jesus did not have any special treatment. Jesus suffered, and he cried, and he shed tears. Some people think that Jesus was special, that we should not even model after him as a Christian, but that is wrong. There was nothing special about him as a human, but it also says that Jesus had to learn to be obedient. He was also learning when he was on earth. So we have to learn to be obedient. I know this is not a popular concept, since many people nowadays want something instant and easy, and obedience and suffering don't sell. But although we may not like that idea of being obedient to the things that are not easy, we cannot ignore this fact. Opposite of obedience is being rebellious, and which is the characteristics of Satan. So if you heed to the rebellious voice, you will not enter into God's blessing, but you will go somewhere else. And I know that Christian walk is not easy, because sometimes we have to do things that we don't understand, or some of the things that we are asked to do is against our own will. But if we are obedient to God's voice, We were guided to publish a book or issue newsletters or even receive a message about church planting. So I know that God is working in us. No one wants to suffer, but learning to be obedient, even in suffering, is important. Jesus started out like a superstar for having gathered 4,000 or 5,000 people and multiplying bread, but towards the end of his life, all the popularity was gone. But as Jesus worked for the glory and honor in heaven, our focus should also be to receive honor in heaven and not here on earth.